I feel like in some ways I ought to introduce myself. I'm the pastor of this church, but 3 weeks ago I had a week of virus, and then the next week I had to go see about two very sick older brothers. Yes, they really are older than me, and there's someone else in this world older than me, but I'm not going to name who it is. And then I had to go to Jackson, Mississippi, for the funeral of my best friend, and he had had a Bible study going in his home for over 50 years, and I thought it was over 40 years, but his son reminded me, no, Dad started this Bible study 50 years ago, and I was asked to come and have his memorial service, which I was happy to do, but I'm so glad to be back, and others that I'm glad to be here. Don is recovered enough to be here, and Patty and Steve are back with us again. And so if I'm overlooking anybody that hadn't been here in a long time, I welcome you back as well. But this morning, as we observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we begin by looking at the scripture. And we begin by considering the best gift that God ever gave to us. And from the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, we have our scripture lesson for the day. And it will be guiding us through the next few weeks as we consider all of God's good gifts to us. We've just been through a season of exchanging gifts. We have all given and trust that we've all received. And so as we consider the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about God's good gifts to us. And this morning from the first chapter of Ephesians, we're going to consider the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's read here and follow along with me as I read the first half of the first chapter of the book to the Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And may God add blessing upon blessing and the understanding of what it means that we have just read together. And to that end, will you join me in a moment of prayer and pray for me that I will make clear the Word of God, and that I will pray for you that as you listen, you may be determined to become more like Jesus Christ than you were before you came in here today. So let's pray for each other. Father, I bless you and thank you for the prayers of this congregation as they pray that the Holy Spirit anointing will be on me so that I can preach the word clearly. And I pray that the same Holy Spirit will open our minds and our wills to be all that you want us to be. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit himself is present, and he takes the word of God and opens our minds and hearts to the truth of the word. And so we pray for that this morning. And we pray that Christ will be honored and glorified and your people will be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All that God is in his marvelous triune personhood, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All that is in his glorious character of majesty and power and love and holiness, all of these things are involved in your personal salvation. God has brought together all that he is and all that he wills and presents to us in this passage of Scripture to the end that you may become everything he wants you to be, which in summary is like his Son, not perfectly, of course, but visibly and audibly, that people may know who you are and whose you are. And that is the purpose of this passage of Scripture. And that is the purpose by which God has determined ahead of time that we should receive the Holy Spirit and therefore become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has a special way of assuring you that all of his gifts belong to you, and you belong to him. And this special way is by giving you the Holy Spirit within, and the Holy Spirit of promise that the Old Testament predicted the day would come when I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your young men will dream dreams, and your old men will see visions. Those are, of course, generic terms, and it just doesn't mean males only. It means that the human race, redeemed by God, those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, should be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will send you the Holy Spirit. Have you experienced that in your life? It's not just that the words that you believe testify to this, and you do believe them, don't you? But it's also that we begin to demonstrate in our lives, both by what we turn from and what we turn to, that we are people in whom the Spirit of God actually lives. And therefore, we become more and more like Jesus Christ. And as you mark the beginning of this new year, I hope that somewhere that you'll make a little note in your Bible so that at the end of the year, you can say, I really am more like Jesus Christ than I was at the beginning of the year. And so he will guide you into all truth. And this passage of Scripture, which reveals the marvelous truths of the God's gifts of grace, and we're going to be considering more than just the coming of the Holy Spirit, but we are due for the grace of God to flood our souls because the Holy Spirit, according to the words and the promise of Jesus Christ, is in you and will be with you and will never leave you nor forsake you. And as Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, that because the Holy Spirit is in you, the Father is also in you, and you reflect his image, and the Lord Jesus Christ is in you. And Jesus himself said, we will come and be with you, and we will be in you. And that's a mighty promise for us to claim, that the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is also living in us, and we are called upon to reflect the reality of our salvation. He is the one who makes all of the promises of God real and certain in your heart and life. And this is God's way of saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you, because the Holy Spirit is in you. And because the Holy Spirit is in you, the Father is in you, and the Son is in you. And the salvation that he offers becomes more and more of a way of life, and less just a theory out there somewhere, but that the Holy Spirit of God brings the Father and the Son to live in your life and to reflect the glory of his image. And the Holy Spirit himself inspired the writing of this word, and there are three words here that are vastly important. The Lord has anointed you with the Holy Spirit. And not only in this passage, but also in another passage of Scripture, almost word for word, the Lord promises that he will anoint you with the Holy Spirit. And when the Bible says God has anointed us, it's obviously with the Holy Spirit. And this is an astounding reality, to realize that by the Holy Spirit, you are united with Christ Jesus, not only in this life, but in the life to come. At the funeral of my best friend, Rip Baker, out in Jackson, Mississippi, a couple of days ago, seems like weeks, as long as it takes to Jackson, Mississippi, and back again. But this brother was overwhelmed with the fact that God had actually anointed him with the Holy Spirit. And that meant the world to Rip, and it means the world to me, to know that every believer has been set aside, and that's what anointing means, set aside by a formal ceremony whereby you become one with Jesus Christ. So John the Baptist, one of his last acts was to anoint the Lord Jesus Christ as God's Messiah. And we call it baptism, but the two words are used synonymously, that John the Baptist had fulfilled his mission when he anointed Christ as the Messiah. And God endorsed that. How did God endorse it? By sending an image of himself in the form of a dove and saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And when King David was set aside to the kingship, he was anointed by the prophet Samuel. Before that, Moses anointed the high priest Aaron as in a special ceremony, pouring oil and perfume on all over him so that it ran down, completely covering his garments. So when John anointed Jesus to be the Messiah, God endorsed this act by sending the Holy Spirit in a visible form. Now we are told that God has anointed us. Wow, did you catch on that? God had anointed Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And now we're told in this passage of Scripture that in like manner, God has anointed us because we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. And Jesus Christ left with his disciples that same mission, in a sense, that we are to bring people to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And for that task, he has poured out his Holy Spirit. He has anointed us by his Holy Spirit. So you have been set aside, designated as God's means of reaching this lost world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he comes up with another word. God has sealed you with the Holy Spirit. And the use of a seal in the ancient world had a threefold significance. When a person was under the seal of the king or the prophet, it was a sign of ownership. God owns me. And it was a mark of protection as well as a stamp of validity. So when the Bible tells us that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, that means you belong to God. You no longer belong to yourself, but rather you belong to God. And not only that, but we have been bought with a price, the most precious price that has ever been paid, and God paid it through his Son. We are under God's protection. Not only does sealing mean we belong to God, but we can claim the promise that we are under God's protection. And so when we battle the world, the flesh, and the devil, God's Holy Spirit comes to us, empowering us to win the victory. You're not your own. You're bought with a price, but we're under God's protection as well. And remember when the high priest wanted to protect the body of Jesus from being stolen by his disciples and then spreading the rumor that he had raised from the dead, he asked Pontius Pilate for a seal to be placed on the tomb of Jesus. But here the use of the word seal is so much more positive than that, because we have been we may be confident that we have been sealed, therefore we belong to God, and the Lord is my helper. I cannot fear what man can do to me. And we are certified to be God's children. Certified because you believe the promises, and certified because the fruit of the Spirit is your outward proof. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control, and God's seal is on you. And so Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Well, how do you know when you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit? By trusting in the Word of God and demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit in your life. It's not just that you're sealed by some invisible corporate decision. Is when God seals you to be his own, he fills you with the Spirit, and you begin to act more and more like Jesus Christ and less like the fallen nature that we all inherit. And then finally, the Holy Spirit is God's down payment on heaven, because he sends the Holy Spirit from heaven to inhabit your life so that when your life is over, then you may inhabit eternity in heaven with God. And there's an interesting little play on words here. The Hebrews had a word, they called it Araban, and it was used as basically in the sense of a transaction that was to take place. And then the Greeks came along and incorporated that same word into their language, and is still pronounced Araban. And it survives in modern Greek to this day. It's the word the Greeks sometimes use for an engagement ring that when a young man gives to his love an engagement ring, that is to making a promise that she will be his and he will be hers forever and ever. And God is saying to us as the bride of Christ, we should have some token. We should have a wedding, an engagement ring, and that is the Holy Spirit. And God's engagement ring is not a visible thing, but it is a possessive thing, that God is saying, you are mine, so I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to prove that you really are mine. And originally, this word was used in commercial transactions, and it was signified a down payment or a layaway. And during this past season, I was in a large store, and I noticed a sign that says, you may pay your layaway dues here. And I thought about this word because it's an installment or deposit or a down payment and a promise that God will come through with the full price. He has paid it in His Son, and He is working it out in your life. In this case, Paul uses it as the down payment of the Holy Spirit as God's way of assuring you that once you believe in Him, He who has begun a good work in you will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. How gracious of God, who gives us outward symbols of baptism in the Lord's Supper to prove to us that we have been sealed, we are His, and we belong to Him. Back in the olden days, when our children were quite young, they were free to bring home anybody they wanted to after church for Sunday dinner. And oh, was that table crowded. And they brought those home. But we also wanted to make sure that their mamas and daddies understood that we were not adopting them. They should come and get them after a time at our meal time. But here, the idea is that when God spreads out this meal for us, He invites you to come and be a part of the family of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to ask, do you have God's seal on your life? Are you enjoying the first installment payment on your eternal destiny? Well, open your heart today and let the fullness of the Holy Spirit bring you love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faith, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Then you will know who you are, whose you are, and other people will know whose you are too. And when the presence of the Holy Spirit is not a visible reality, and it identifies you, who you are. I'm a child of God, and the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to that. But when we celebrate the sacrament of baptism, which is a sign and seal of our cleansing, we receive from Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit Himself. And it symbolizes that your baptism will be completed one day in heaven. And certainly this glorious meal is for the family, and we are invited to become the members of the family. We come to the table of our Lord today to celebrate this glorious meal, not just the symbols of the bite and the sip, but to recognize this is God's way of assuring us that we have the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit will take us all the way through to heaven itself. God's guarantee by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're going to go home with God, and you're going to be in His heaven, and you're going to be with all of His people. So that's what this whole thing is all about. The gift of the Holy Spirit is your seal, it is your identification, and it is that you have been anointed by the grace of God, and so the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. So how are you doing? As we begin this new year, we have to search our hearts as we come to the table of the Lord Jesus Christ today, and to further prepare ourselves for this coming, we're going to sing break thou the bread of life. This is an invitation to come to the table of the Lord. And as we stand and sing this song together, we're going to ask the elders to come forward and prepare